Blog Talk Radio.
Think about you.
Shalom, shalom. Peace and blessings to everyone. We'd like to welcome one and all to the Nation of Yehuda radio blog talk show. And my name is Prince El Ram. Myself, along with Prince Asiel, will be hosting tonight. We also have Brother Adonia with us. And Brother Adonia, if you would check in, please.
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia. How are you?
I'm all right, brother. How you doing?
Doing as great as possible.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, as usual, we have a very interesting show. We have a guest, a brother from Arad, Israel, who will be joining us shortly. And a little bio, this brother has been in Israel. First of all, his name is Anaviel, and he has been a priest in Israel for over 40 years. So he's not only well-versed in the subject matter as it relates to the children of Israel, but the children of Israel as it relates to the Kohanim, or the priesthood. And he'll be on to give that spiritual perspective as we add to the overall perspective of health. As we well know, if we don't know, let us be informed that health is not just a physical condition. We're talking about a mental, a physical, and a spiritual health. But we also know as Israelites and as people who observe and read the Bible that we are taught that man does not live by bread alone, meaning that it's the spirit that gives life. So certainly we want to not only highlight the spirit, but put it in its proper place, and that would be first. So Anaviel HaKohen, or Anaviel the priest, is one of the first five priests who were anointed in the land of Israel in the Hebrew Israelite community in September of 1979. And he was the first to be sent from the Holy Land. He came back here, and from here he went to West Africa, okay, to Liberia in particular. And so through his sojourn there, he has the honor of performing the first marriage outside of the land of Israel by Israelites in Liberia. And this was during late 1979, early 1980. Now, Liberia historically at that time experienced this coup d'etat. A coup d'etat is a takeover by force of arms. Hold on, this is Brother Prince Asiel checking in, so let me bring him in. Hold on, please.
Brother Adonia, go ahead and talk.
Sliga?
Go ahead and talk.
I don't have anything really to say. I'm waiting for them to have their bring their program up.
Hello, I'm back. That was Prince Asiel checking in. He'll be with us in a couple of minutes. He wants to extend his greetings to everyone. So I was saying about Liberia and the coup d'etat and our guest today who was there during that period of time. And the circumstances were just life and death. You know, I'm not going to dance with that. Life and death circumstances in a coup d'etat, people die, they get hurt, they get killed, people are taken over by force. So he was there during that period. And so he has a long history of service under various conditions. He was instrumental in the community receiving in Liberia, receiving permanent residency in Liberia. He's a former Crown Brother. A Crown Brother is a brother who has earned and been awarded. It's a community service award. It's a high honor in the Hebrew Israelite community. He also assisted in establishing the community's kibbutz financial structure. Now, kibbutz is like a village or a cooperative community where people join together to help each other. They join their resources. They join their assets. They join all of their effort together for the good of all. So Anabi Okoain has been a servant and a very good servant on behalf of Hebrew Israelites everywhere, but particularly for over 40 years in the land of Israel, and he'll be our special guest today. Now, Brother Adonijah, if you would take over the mic for a couple of minutes, we'll get Prince Aziel hooked in.
Shalom, this is Adonijah, and I want to say I appreciate that with the praise of the Almighty, the King of the Universe, I greet everybody on this line at this particular time. And Prince Aziel has put together a good program so that we can be able to come back to the Almighty under a healthy perspective and a moral perspective. And so I am really fascinated, you understand, because this is the time of the Creator. We are getting ready to extend our existence in the land. And so all of these things have to come to pass. All of these things that we have to understand who we are and how to conduct ourselves knowing who we are. And so I am truly, truly proud to be one of the people that's helping to bring this thing about. So are you there? Are you back on?
Not okay. Yet. I'm still trying to hook that up, but I hear you, and I appreciate that. And, give me a couple more minutes, please.
Okay. Normally I don't know what to say unless there's a question on the floor that I can address. I'm not a very good spokesperson unless somebody asks me a question. But this is vital to our existence. We need to know what we need to do and how we need to act. You understand? Because we're supposed to be a light unto the other nations. You know, I suggest that we read some of the latter day prophets. You understand? The ones that talk about what's going to happen in the latter days. And so I was reading in Yoel today, and it talks about how the Almighty is going to bring forth, you understand, a great destruction. And we're going to be able to recognize the coming of the Almighty, you understand, and his wrath. He's going to pour out his anger on the nations that kept us captive. You understand? And there's signs and wonders that set aside specifically for the children of Yah. You understand? So these things, I suggest that you look into some of those scriptures that makes reference to what the Almighty expects from us and what he's going to do himself. You understand? He doesn't ask us to pick up arms and go in there and try to wipe nobody out. That's not our job. Our job is to come back to the Almighty with all our heart and our soul and find a way that we can work together. Hallelujah. You back on, Nasi? Not yet, huh? Oh boy, I like to say that I could talk forever, but man, I can't talk unless there's a subject matter. but it's truly a good thing, and this is the Almighty's time to bring us all. He's making things happen in the earth today. If you can understand the times that we're in, you understand. He woke me up. You understand, by letting me know that he is working with us. You understand, because he allowed things to start happening in the earth. You understand, and with us. You understand, coming together like we're coming together more than we ever did in our history. You understand? We came together in the past, you understand, but the prophecy had to be fulfilled, has to be fulfilled. So right now what he's doing is bringing us together, you understand, to help to, and we are part of this prophecy. We are part of, he said in Zephaniah, through the mouth of Zephaniah, that we must gather ourselves, you understand, and we must seek righteousness and humility. Humility has is a word that has a lot of things that is encompassed in humility. We must understand. Understanding is the big thing. It talks about how we got to understand other people's views, and we have to prove them. Hello, are you back?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt you. You were rolling so well, you know. Let me just wait, Brother Donald, you know.
Yeah. I'm not a great talker, unless there's a subject matter.
Right, I understand. But I just spoke to the friends. He'll be joining us momentarily. So,
I'm on the line now.
Okay, he's with us now. Listening audience, Prince Asiel, your regular host, has now joined us. Prince, we opened up, Brother Donia and I have, been holding it down. Brother Donia has been holding it down pretty good. He's pretty humble about it, too. But I introduced Anavi Olah Cohen and his bio, and we're just waiting for him to come on the line, and we just talked about his experience so far and the spiritual component along with this health paradigm, that mental, physical, and then spiritual health is a requirement for us to be whole in the image of God. So if you'd like to join in at this time, you know, you're more than welcome.
Well, one of the things that Better World is doing on its information network, particularly over the airwaves of the Yehuda Nation, is to prepare the listening audience and the people for a overview of 46 years of being in the Holy Land after 2,000 years of being in exile and over 400 years of being in captivity. So we're moving this along in a structured kind of way so that our listening audience gets an overview. So when we first talked about health, the reason that we started with health is that right after, before the creation of the new man and the new woman, right afterwards, was a divine diet given, which would make it operate at its maximum effect. So we're trying to get back to being those beings that are in harmony with the manufactured manual of how to maintain this body. Because when you get anything that you buy at the store that somebody creates or makes, they give you an instructional manual with it. And one of the first things that we did was, how do you sustain a body made out of aduma, which is earth, which is feminine in Hebrew? That's where Adam comes from. Adam comes from the earth. And so God creating man out of the dust of the earth, he put in him certain components that had to be regenerated. You couldn't just be created and live forever. You had to be created and participate in the sustaining of your body, both physically and mentally, so that when it was time for one thing to wane down, the reality of it was that you had to learn how to sustain yourself. It's like raising children. You carry them, you feed them, you do all of the things that it takes, and then one day you don't carry them no more because their legs are strong enough now to stand up on and walk. But because they don't know where they're going, you have to lead them everywhere they go. And in leading them everywhere they go, you teach them the way to go. Then it's time to cross the street. You tell them about traffic, traffic lights, to understand red, green, and yellow so that they know that the traffic and vehicles are coming and going in directions, and the lights are sort of guiding the people in which way to go. And in the absence of a street light, they are either stop signs or they are rules of the road. And so all of these things, even you take the state of Illinois, 1,000 people get killed on the highways in Illinois every year because somebody is disobeying the laws that govern traffic on the highways and the streets of Illinois. So now, as we began to look at the physical health, we talked about the mental health, and we brought in a psychologist, psychiatrist, and we brought in somebody that would guide us on how to govern ourselves in group and group therapy, so that when we, O Nation, that's not desired, begin to come back together, we would have a way in which we could effectively communicate the different thoughts, ideas, and values. Because we're not coming back all thinking the same, acting the same, doing the same thing. It's going to take a development stage. And this is what the process of Better World and Yehuda Nation working together along with those others who are determined to put together a nationalistic vision so that we can function like that. So from that position, we are now in a position to begin to talk about the spiritual health. And so before we talk to our guest tonight, I just wanted to frame the reasons that we're dealing with these topics as for the last 3-4 weeks as we begin to build a structure in which we will come into nationalistic thinking, nationalistic behavior, and a culture that would be indicative of the Holy One of Israel. So we know that a 1,000-mile journey starts with the first step. So, Nasik, El Ram, I wanted to give that introduction. And in the meantime, I'll reach out for our guest to see where he's located. So you take it from here.
Okay. Thank you for that enlightenment, but also to walk us through this process, and that we realize that it's a process, and that we understand and participate in the process. And by that I mean sometimes we don't do things because we're not satisfied with small progress or small things. We want big things, or we want large things, or we want big pieces. But in a protracted struggle, which means a struggle that you continue, or an effort, not struggle, an effort, in a protracted effort, you know, everything that you gain is valuable. And all of those gains together constitute a victory. As we know, the world, the various places in the world are in various stages of chaos. And it seems that periodically these things happen as if by clockwork, or if by plan, or if by desire. And so we see that.
Are you calling in? Because we're on the air now.
Yeah, I'm listening to it. I'm trying to join in.
Brother Adonia. Brother Adonia.
Kane, this is Adonia.
There's a brother trying to, the guest is trying to call in from Israel. Can you open the mic? Are you in a position to do that?
No. Yaina, are you there?
Your sister Yaina is listening. Would you open up the mic? We have him on the other line. He says he's trying to call in.
Hello.
Shalom.
Yes, sir, we're here.
Sister Yaina
was doing some community service, so she's listening, but she's not at her mic, Brent. So it's me, you, and Brother Adonia, you know, the trio of brothers tonight.
Well, I've got the guest on a cell phone, so what I think I'm going to do is have him hold on, and I'll call back from my cell phone and plug him in until we can work out the technical difficulties.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. So Naviel, you just hold on 1 second while I connect you with the program.
And we'd like to offer our apologies to everyone listening to the technical difficulties. As you know, with electronics, you know, they can be temperamental. So if you would indulge us and we appreciate your patience, we'll get everything together momentarily. In the meantime, I'll continue with the thought I had before the break, and that was that the chaos that we see and that we know of that is happening around the world appearing to go as if it's a schedule or a plan or a desire of someone for this chaos to be to continue. And I was listening to another talk show here in Washington, D.C. There's a public radio station, and the issue was conflicts around the world, and they talk about a concept that was introduced in Ireland in the 12th century, in 1171, I believe it was, and came later to be known as a policy of managed instability, and it became the blueprint for colonialism around the world. And they were quoting Karl Marx, who is the father and author of socialism / we know or may think of as communism, about Ireland being the testing place for the colonialism that followed not only in Europe and in Asia, but also in Africa and also in the Holy Land. So this has been a long time created, a long time perpetrated, and as we know, it's not going to change until the results change. It's working, so as long as it works, they're going to use it. So this is why it's imperative that we do what we're doing. Yes, sir.
I think we are ready.
All right, Prince, you can take it from there. okay. Just got some information that the call from my brother Pi dropped, and when I say Pi, we mean Israel. We say the high holy place, literally. So in the meantime, I'll continue with the thought about this policy of many centuries called managed instability. And it has worked very well for those who have profited from it, and so they continue with it. So this is why periodically we see the same conflict coming up in the Holy Land. And the response is always the same. Wow, will there ever be peace in the Holy Land? It doesn't look like it. It's impossible. No ambassador, no government, no combined efforts, nothing has worked to bring about the kind of instability that we would all desire. So the policy of managed instability is continuing, and if we understand that, then we know that we've been affected by that policy, okay? The instability in our homes, the instability in our organizations, the instability in our education, the instability in our diets, the instability in our whole lives, okay? And it's managed, okay, if it's managed by someone else. The point is, we come together and understand and take
Bill,
in.
I'm going to have him plug us in.
Yes, sir.
L. Rob?
You're there, Prince. You're online. You're on the air.
Okay, and I have a guest speaker, Kohen Anaviel Ben Eliezer, on the line with us. Kohen, would you speak to the listening audience? Kohen, are you
Hello.
There? Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Would you speak to the listeners?
Shalom.
All right.
Shalom. Shalom, Kohen.
Aram, Shalom, Ka.
Hey, Tomio, Toda.
Now, what I want to do, I know you heard the intro on your bio being read, so what I'd like for you to do is to begin to introduce yourself and who you are, and what year did you come to Israel, and what was your vision for coming to Israel, and then I want you to bring up to date what your evolution has been since you've been in Israel, and what the plans are now for improving the lives, the quality of Hebrew Israelites throughout the world.
All right, Trent. That's okay. Let me start from the beginning. I met the brothers in 1974 in Detroit. I was going to school at the time, and I was really discontent with my situation in America in that season. So when I heard the message that the brothers brought, this was Prince Asiel and Prince Ben David at that time, I made a decision to journey up to Jerusalem, to Israel, and see what everything was about. I wasn't into any revolutionary movements. I wasn't a student of the Bible. But I knew something was wrong in the midst of our people, and I wanted to find some answers. So I took them up on their offer of journeying up to Jerusalem, to Israel, to see what the community was all about. And in November of 1974, I landed in Ben-Gurion Airport, journeyed to Dimona, and from there to the city of Arad, which has been my permanent residence for the last almost 40 years. Now, over that period of time, I've been blessed to have had the opportunity to sit at the feet of some highly spiritual and dedicated brothers and sisters who have dedicated their lives to manifesting the vision of the prophets, and that is returning the children of Israel back to their homeland and to oneness again with their God. Over the last 40 years, I've been blessed to study under master teachers and learn what I didn't know in the captivity concerning who we are and what we're supposed to be about as a people. I was blessed to be in the first priesthood class that was set up initially under the auspices of the elder priest, Prince Eleazar, and Prince Elihu. After 2-3 years of studying under them, Ben-Ami, the spiritual leader of the community, took over the teaching of the classes, and he instructed us in how we should function and conduct ourselves as priests. And after a period of studying for 2 years under him, 5 of us graduated from the priesthood class and were anointed as priests of the community. At that time, Ben-Ami stated that we were the first anointed priest at Jerusalem in over 2,500 years, which was a great honor. And in 1979, I was blessed to be sent to Liberia in representation of the priesthood, the first priest to be sent forth again in over 2,000 years. I first went to Chicago and conducted Holy Day services there, and then I journeyed on to Liberia, where I sojourned for nearly 2 years. As El Ram said, I was there during the coup, which was a highly it was frightening.
It was traumatizing,
but at the same time, it let me know the strength of the God of Israel. Because through all of that, you know, we were never touched as a people. And in fact, I had a couple of instances where soldiers came to the house with guns and were belligerent. But after speaking with them and invoking the presence of the God of Israel, we were able to not only reassure them as to who we were, but we endeared them, and they ended up looking out for us. Now, I also have to comment on the presence of Prince Asiel in our midst at that time, and the reassurance that he gave us by his presence there. He had an incident where he and Minister Eliyahu went out to scope the countryside and see exactly what was going on behalf of the community. And in the course of doing so, now this is when soldiers are riding up and down the street shooting guns and accosting people and
dragging people
off to jail, killing people. But they went out in the midst of all of that. And in the course of doing so, they were confronted by a soldier who forced the prince to his knees at gunpoint. But again, you know, the spirit of the God of Israel intervened, and the soldier ended up letting them go and just walking off. So, but these are testimonies of what our God does for us in the midst of confrontation and conflict. So with that as a background and that experience to reassure and bolster my faith, I was blessed to have the opportunity to sit with the Minister of Justice of Liberia, who had one of the ones who had just taken over the government, and he had sentenced 19 members of the former government to death, and they had been taken down to the beach and shot. But I was sent up into his office to speak on behalf of the community concerning our status in the country, because the CIA was spreading rumors that we were subversive and we were there to undermine the government. So I was the one that the Spirit of the Holy One of Israel put in a position where I met the minister on an airplane flight from Liberia to the States. And at that time, he was in a more relaxed state of mind. And when I came to him and spoke to him on behalf of our people and told him I wanted to have an audience with him to discuss our status in the country, he was congenial and he, you know, gave me an appointment. So Benikael and I, once I returned back to Liberia, went to his office, and we sat and we spoke with him, and at that time surrounded by his fellow ministers and government officials, he was in a whole other state of mind, and he confronted us with the accusation of the CIA and told us we were there to do the country harm, and we weren't trying to help them. And if we were taken completely off guard, and for minutes we sat there, we didn't know what to say. But then the Spirit of the Holy One of Israel moved and said, open your mouth, and I'll put the words there. And that's what I did. I talked to them for about 10 minutes nonstop, and at the end of the conversation, the room was in total silence. And one of the ministers, a woman, said, we need to get these people whatever they want. And that's what he did. He said, you are our brothers, and we welcome you back to your homeland. And so we got permanent resident status in Liberia at that time. So that experience opened up was one of the first steps in opening up for me the realization of the power of the Holy Spirit. That Brother Adonia said, when you humble yourself and let the Spirit move by its will and not according to your will, he said, I'll make your enemies your footstool. So when I returned to Israel, I had a vision as I was standing in our apartment looking out over the land. And in that vision, it said that I wasn't going to always be a priest. That I would lose my priesthood 3 times, that I would take it back up twice, but the third time, I wouldn't take it up again. And over the course of the years, this is what happened. I took my priesthood. I was removed from the priesthood twice, was reinstated twice, but the third time that I was removed, and I was offered the opportunity to come back, I decided, the Spirit said, no, don't go back. So I pursued other areas within the community, and over a course of years, I was elevated to the position of a Crown Brother, which is the third level of leadership in the community. But I wasn't content with that position, because I had thought that at that level of leadership, I would be more effective in being able to bring about change in some of the areas that I thought needed to be upgraded. But I found myself not being able to implement those changes, or not be effective in the manner that I felt I should be. So again, the Holy Spirit moved and said, you're going to have to give that up. Meaning I was going to have to give the crown up. And I was confronted by my fellow Crown Brothers, because I had made some statements that were not according to protocol. And they asked me why I made those statements. And I informed them that the Holy Spirit told me to make those statements. And there were some in the midst who didn't believe that the Holy Spirit had spoken to me. And there were others who were simply silent, because it really took them by surprise that I would say that. But in the end, I had to do as the Holy Spirit said, and I had to give back the crown. I told them that I didn't come to Israel for a crown. I came to learn of the ways of the God of Israel, as the scriptures say. And then after being there for all of that time, being a faithful servant, I felt I should have the right to express myself. And if being a Crown Brother meant that I couldn't do that, then I gave up being a Crown Brother. And so since that time, I've been looking for means and ways to help our people here in the land, because I've learned it's about our God and our people. You know, when the whole situation between Prince Asiel and Ben Ami came up, I was the first one to call the prince and ask him from his perspective what happened. Because all I'd heard was what the accusations were from one side, and I hadn't heard anything from his perspective. And he expressed to me how much he appreciated me calling him as a brother to ask him what was this all about. And for me, it marked my elevation into putting the essence of the teachings and the lessons that we have had here in the Holy Land into actualization. Because if we can't be brothers, if we can't be true to one another, then what was the whole point? We can have a difference of opinion, but we should be able to sit down as men, as brothers, and discuss those differences of opinion and come to some common conclusions so that we can go forward and live in harmony with one another and thereby in harmony with our God. Now, this is one of the aspects of the current conflict here in the land. I was telling some brothers and sisters the other day that I'm listening to all of the dialogue that's going here, and no one at any time has mentioned God. So if God is not in the picture, he's not in the formula, how can there be peace? The scriptures say that the work of righteousness is peace. So if you're leaving righteousness and God out of the formula, how can there be any peace? It also says that correction begins at the house of the God of Israel. So for me, that meant we have to mend the breaches in the midst of us here in the Holy Land. We've been blessed to return back, and we now dwell in the land that was promised to our fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. We've been blessed to be the vanguard, to lay a foundation for the return of all the children of Israel. I had a sitting recently where I pointed out to those who were in attendance that the intent of the government here is to have Israel recognized as a quote-unquote Jewish state. But then if it's recognized as a Jewish state, that preempts the presence or the return of the other families of Israel, because they're 12 tribes, and they're not all Jews. So we here in the Holy Land, we have to begin to be the example, Brother Adonijah said. We're here to be a light to the world. So we have to begin to bring these truths forth in the midst of us and manifest them so that we can be that light that was promised to Abraham when he said, through thy seed with the nations of the earth be blessed. So this is what I have begun to do in having sittings here, and I opened them up to anyone who wanted to attend, whether they were quote-unquote in the community or not recognized as being a part of the community. Because, again, this is bigger than a community. We're a nation. We're the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel has 12 parts to it. So within those 12 parts, there is a diversity of perspective, but there's only one doctrine. So, and the course of having those sittings, it brought Prince Asiel back into active participation in my activities. He was instrumental in helping me to plot the course and the direction that I want to go in. And it has also helped him to have a voice in the midst, again, of people who hadn't really connected with him as brothers and sisters, but had simply gone on the rumors that they had heard. But the scriptures say to go to your brother if you have controversy and talk to him man to man. That then if he don't hear you, you take it to the council. That then if he don't hear the council, that then you can turn your back. But you have to give him that opportunity to be heard. So this is what I'm about in this season. I'm concerned about the return of our people and having a place here in this land. Because we are here, but we are here in the face of opposition. One of my sons, I was speaking to about my concerns and the direction I wanted to go in, he said, Abba, I know you're right, because he said, I had a police friend tell me that their plan, the Israeli government plan, is to bide their time, let the elders die off. He said then the youth are either going to be assimilated into the Israeli population and become Israeli, or they're going to go back to Chicago and become Negroes again. That's the plan. So, you know, that's why he and haw and they make, you know, little concessions here, little concessions there, and it gives the impression that they all for us. But in reality, the official policy is, hey, we want them out of here. That's why there was a family in the city of Ashkelon here. They were 13 individuals who had converted to Judaism, gone through a recognized Jewish synagogue in Kansas City, made Aliyah to Israel, went to apply for citizenship, and were denied. And the Minister of Interior gave the reason, saying that they believe the only reason this family converted is so they could be a part of the Black Hebrews. So, and what would be wrong with that if we are recognized and accepted part of the people of this land who live and abide by the rules? Our children are in the army. We have children fighting in this current conflict that are as exposed to the dangers as any other Israeli youth. Then why would it be a problem if they did convert and came here to be a part of us? Why would that be a problem? So this is where I am spiritually at this point. And uplifting the name of the God of Israel, which is simply standing for truth, righteousness, and the love of my brothers and sisters.
Go ahead, this is Prince Asiel. I want to, first of all, thank you for that historical insight into the beginning of our journey back into the land from a prophetic point of view, because this program is dedicated to the beginning of spiritual and mental resuscitation of our minds. The promise by Yahweh that he would give us a clean heart. We found out that science found the body to possess two brains, one in the cranium of the head, the other brain is in the heart. The heart brain is the brain that Yah speaks directly to, because the heart is the first organ of the body that is developed in the fetus.
Right.
That's where our God DNA is implanted in us. And that's why you couldn't do anything but what your DNA called for you to do. That's why you had no choice but to reach out for me, your brother, and seek to heal the pain of my soul as a priest, as a teaching priest. I've asked you to come on to lay the foundation for our people in the diaspora throughout the world to begin to know that the voice of the God of Israel is not only back in the land, but he has awakened in his people, their brains, their minds, to begin to do that. That's why I was so pleased and impressed with Princess Yaina, who received the word from Jerusalem, from Better World, to begin a relationship, and after communicating with me, open up her heart, her mind, and the nation that she has been blessed to begin to develop, so that we could be that one people again. And that's why I wanted one of the original priests, ordained and anointed by the ancient elder, Prince Eleazar, to speak directly to the heart and the mind of the redeemed of Yah. So by the authority that I was blessed to have to go in the first beginning and moving around the world, speaking to the dry bones. The question was, can these bones? And the answer was, you know God. Well, he has validated that the bones live, because you celebrated this past December, 40 years of coming out of Detroit, and all of the challenges that we've had in this 40 years, we still remain there. Even at this time when bombs and rockets are falling in the very city that you're speaking to us from, during this current conflict, not a hair has been harmed on the head of the anointed people of Yah. So I wanted the people to hear about the spiritual health of those of us who have been redeemed by the word. And I'm so proud that you have the courage, the integrity, and the tenacity, you and your family, to begin to be a family of truth. So I wanted that. Before I continue on, I want to go to Elram and Brother Adonai to see if there's any questions before we get to the second part of our discussion with you.
Well, friends, this is Nasi Elram. There was a caller from area code 412. They've been holding on for a while. I don't know if they're still there or not. Area code 412, are you there?
I'm here, but I'm just listening.
Would you prefer to listen, make a comment?
Yes.
You have a question?
Yes, I definitely need to listen.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, friends, I'm good. Brother Donia?
Kane, can you hear me? You got a lot of feedback in there.
Those who have open mics and have pushed the number one, would you please take your phone off the speaker so that the feedback can be reduced? Thank you. Now, Brother Adonai, did you have a question or a comment?
I wanted to first say that I pray that y'all be safe in the land there. Be cognizant and of what the Almighty has in store for us. We have the opportunity for us to be in that land. You know, it may be twofold. One is that you had the desire to be there, and one, the Almighty had a desire to put us in that particular position. Before they came to the land, there was nobody there that was black, Hebrew Israelites, talking about they the people of Israel. The Almighty has put you all in a position to stand up like that, stand up in the name of Yah, you understand, in that position, because you're there. And he's allowed you to be there for 40 years or more, you understand?
Right.
So I am truly, truly, truly proud to have you all have that opportunity and to give us this opportunity here now, because now we can go, you know, if the scriptures read, if the prophecies reads right, you understand what I'm saying? Them people coming out of there that's holding that land down. They not the people, and they got to come out of there. And remember now, the Arabs, they held us captive also. So they ain't going to take over that land either. It's got to be us that come back over there and in a remnant of the sands of the sea. You understand? So we going to be in that land, but there got to be somebody in that land. There got to be the Judite that's in that land. You understand what I'm saying? To establish us when them folks get out of there. We have to be there. You understand? So I want you to tell your children, man, you understand? Just hold on. You understand what I'm saying? There's a twofold thing. We were supposed to be there. You understand? We had the spirit. Y'all had the spirit to take up and reroute yourself into the land, and the Almighty has established us in that land. All them folks around it, all them neighboring nations know the Hebrew Israelites in that land. You understand? And I'm all for the nation. I love my peoples with an undying love. You understand? But we not Jews at all, period. You understand? And we need to stop talking about us being Jews. We Hebrew Israelites. You understand? And it goes a little further than that, but I don't want to bring all of that up. That's a subject for another time. You understand? But
right.
You understand? Yes, and yes. I appreciate y'all being there. You know, you understand? It warms my heart to know that we got this is our time. This is the Almighty's time now. He's getting ready to call all the shots. You understand? If you read in Yoel, he said the signs and the wonders will make the difference here to let us know that he's on his way and he's close at hand. So we need to, you know, we need to, there's certain things in the scriptures that's going to let us know that we're doing the right thing. You understand? The right thing is being done. You understand? We got to band ourselves together and work under, find a way to work together, you understand, so that we can get the blessing of the Almighty, because he said he's going to hide us in the day of his great wrath. So that's where we at now. I got a question. The question is the Umim and the Thummim in play in this day and time? Hallelujah.
Go ahead. I believe that, Brother Adonia, I believe they may have dropped.
Oh, okay.
And French ICL along with them, so I'm sure they'll be joining us in a moment. But
okay.
In the meantime, I think it's very important that we understand what the priest was saying about the circumstances, the realities, and the prices that are being paid in the Holy Land at this time, and have been since we were cast out so many thousands of years ago. So for those of us who study, for those of us who believe, for those of us who say we have faith, as Brother Adonia said, that we should be looking for signs and wonders to give us direction, but also to let us know that we haven't been forsaken.
That is correct.
Yes, sir. It's very important that we support spiritually. At the minimum, we support spiritually all the brothers and sisters in Israel, because at great peril and great faith, they went forth. Okay? Their faith sustained them through the peril and allowed them to emerge unharmed. Okay, so we have that lesson. So we can take an eat of that and strengthen ourselves as we prepare ourselves to go and likewise to join them in that prophetic endeavor, the reestablishment of the original people back in the land so that the plan of God can be executed as he sees fit.
Hallelujah. Yep.
Brother Navio mentioned he mentioned a lot of things, a lot of historical circumstances, a lot of reality. And I want us to consider, too, that what we're talking about doing is joining that historical legacy. So while we're preparing ourselves, I'd like for us to consider what we would want to contribute to that historical legacy. We have a caller, area code 443, I believe. It's correct. Yeah, area code 443. Caller, are you there? Would you like to ask a question or make a comment at this time?
Change. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Can you hear me?
Shalom, shalom.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. First of all, I want to give praise and honor to the Most High for allowing us to hear this. I got an email. I can't even remember who it was from, and I've been listening to all the archive messages ever since then, and spoke to our sister from the Yehuda Project the other day. My name is Yehoshua Yisrael. I'm right in Baltimore. So I understand the spirit that you all are talking about to a degree, because I live in Pikesville, Baltimore, which is has a huge concentration of Orthodox and Hasidic Ashkenazi Jews, all in this area. So I understand. I have a question because being part of the nation, because I look at a nation, I don't look at it from a camp perspective as we often see, and what contributes to the polarization and the apathy that exists amongst us. What I'm asking is, when we want to come, especially from my background and my associate's background, the other brothers and sisters, we're coming for business, because we think it's paramount that, as I believe it was the last class that was held, is that we operate from a position of self-sufficiency. Is there a system in place? Because we found it like pulling teeth. We used to fellowship in D.C. I'm not going to mention anything specifically at this time. But it was like pulling teeth, even with other organizations, trying to get collective information to find out who does what does who, so we can strategically, with wisdom, put together things, basically have an inventory to find out who does what, so we can make some things happen. I'll give you a quick example. Let's say, for example, we are developing a manufacturing or distribution center. Somebody within the community may have accounting skills, marketing skills, et cetera. Instead of them going out to work for the heathen, so to speak, we could be working amongst each other to be self-sufficient, so we don't have to operate from a spirit of begging and borrowing and being solely dependent upon them. So my question is, again, is there a system in place by which we can gather this information? Because, again, it's been like pulling teeth with all kinds of camps everywhere. It's like whatever. But, and we cannot even do an inventory as we're going to rebuild who does what. Because I believe it's paramount that to avoid confusion and conflict, that everyone understands their divine purpose, if we are to worship / work for y'all. And I think it's important. And as far as bringing together other enterprises, what are in place that we can talk to whomever? I've spoken to leadership in the Yehuda Project, but even moving forward, just connecting so we can bring our skills, what y'all put in our heart, to help further the nation.
Yes, sir. We appreciate, well, certainly, first of all, we appreciate your spirit. I feel the power of your spirit and your sincerity. And we certainly agree with what you're saying. And part of what we're doing here on the radio show and with the Yehuda Project is doing just that, coming together so that we can organize and see what resources and discover and determine and state what resources we have in the midst of us, so that we can address those objectives. So don't start at the Yehuda Project and go past the Yehuda Project. The Yehuda Project is part of that solution. So first of all, continue to listen in, but also Brother Dalia, maybe you can help me here with the call-in number or email address, brother, can have we're collecting that information. It's not that it's going to one particular source. It can go to any source, and then when we link up, it becomes that one source.
Kane, I want to say something in regards to that also. You understand? My name is Adonia Yehuda, and I support the Nation of Yehuda, and I wanted to say that we're trying to coordinate all of that stuff, man. We're trying to put all of that stuff in play. You understand what I'm saying? We got a think tank coming up in October. We need everybody that has your spirit to bring their situation and their ideas and because we gotta find out how we can sustain ourselves in the latter days.
Okay.
You understand? We gotta put together a strategy that we gonna work off of. We not just gonna come there and just talk and go away and walk away. When we walk away from there, we got a project. We gonna work on this project. We gonna call one another and find out, did you do what you said you was gonna do? That's what I'm about. I'm not about just us talking about our situation. We know our situation. We in dire need of getting ourselves together. So we need to find out how we're going to get ourselves together. And we got to coordinate these things. You understand? We got to also bring out a strategy and follow the strategy to the letter. You understand? We know that this is not our place, and we need to find out how we're going to get back to our place, that has been established by the 40 years that them brothers and sisters put in, man. They was pioneers. They started out and they put together this thing, you understand, and now we're establishing the land. Imagine if we didn't do that, we'd be helter-skelter. You understand? So we have something to shoot at, you understand, a goal, so to speak. You understand? So, and let me give you the website. You understand? The website is www.noymonarch, SMONARCH.us. If you go to the website, you understand, it gives you a breakdown on everything that we're trying to do, everything that that has been done. And on that website you can find out where you fit in. Sign up. That's what we need to do. We need you to sign up. Now in the course of between now and October, you understand, we're trying to set up a date for this think tank, which is going to be in Atlanta, and I'm going to try to stream it. So in case you can't get there, you understand, you can still be a part of it when you go to Ustream. You understand? But this is the powerfulest thing that ever could possibly happen, is that we're trying to coordinate things today. Hallelujah.
443,
you good with that? Before we go? You good with that, Erico
443? Excuse me? If I could say one more thing. I just want to let you all know that we are workers. I'm a former Christian pastor. I know how they work. They make things happen, whether we agree with them or not, especially in the circles I came out of. You know, they get the people involved, the people give. That's what I love hearing. You know, people need to put their money where their mouth is, commit to it and make it happen. We're workers, and what we don't want to experience again is going through, I call it, the religious politics.
I understand.
Signatures here, approval here. We're talking about saving lives. We're talking about resurrecting and waking up our people. And I, in my heart, I have a sense of urgency. I used to live in Ghana. I knew some of the saints that worked at Asafipa and worked in Cape Coast. We used to live in Cape Coast. And I saw the enterprises, but at the same time, they may not necessarily have the skill set to operate a business. And sometimes, you know, we have to begin to be open to wisdom, especially when somebody's coming and we're drowning and and the wrath is out there where we're waiting for something else, but yet that wrath is waiting and able to save us.
Yeah.
We got to be open to those things.
But that is correct.
Religious politics get in the way, and we stuck with nothing. We stuck with going to network marketing businesses, further enriching the white folks, but yet we don't even support the businesses that's right in our face. We got to do that. And we gotta stop enslaving people under the name and using the Most High as a means and telling people that they work for the Most High, but they're enslaved. The children are wrecking. The children get older and say, I don't want nothing to do with this Elohim. That's got to stop because I have adult children now. I'm 51, but I have adult children, and I still want them to see that this life is awesome.
That is correct.
All they see is, you know, what the Christians are telling them, hey, you would have been all right if you would have been still serving you-know-who. And
yeah.
And that's all I want. I want us to be a paradigm of peace, prosperity, and doers, not just talkers. And what
you're
I'm
absolutely
hearing so
right.
far, I'm excited about because we were discouraged for a while because we're like, we're in Baltimore by ourselves because we stopped going to class just to hear talk. If I want negative news, I listen to BBC or CNN every night. I'm tired of that. I want solutions. I want to
right.
tell my brothers and sisters it's about work. And this is what I'm hearing.
That's correct.
And I was so excited because the first time I heard of Prince Atiel's name was through Dr. Baruch, who I used to work with. And I was very excited. I said, I got to meet this brother. And just like the Cohen said, I got to hear the other side of the story. Because something doesn't add up. I wanted to hear his side. And I'm so glad I'm honored to hear the side through my own due diligence. And my brother, who I know is listening, and partner. But I'm just excited that we're connected, and this is totally y'all, and I know y'all can. And then folks got to get out, just like these folks that I see every day here. They got to get out of our land. But we got to show up and bring viable solutions to our people so
that is correct.
They can be empowered, they can be excited, and get on the bus, plane, big ship, you know what I'm saying, get over there. Because we need our people. But we got to give them viable options. And lastly, I do not believe that everybody in the church wants to stay ignorant. They're there because we have not showed up a viable option.
That is correct. Let me go for 1 second, and I just want to say this here: don't give up, give out. You understand?
Yes.
Let's stay focused. Come in.
I'm with you.
Yeah, this is the time of the Almighty. If you notice, man, we lost 2 days of every week for a while here. You understand? Time is of the essence that we gather ourselves and put ourselves in position. You understand what I'm saying? And all of these things going to happen, you understand? We need everybody to get on board, everybody with the willing heart to get on board.
Brother Tony,
King.
We have, we have Prince ICL on area code 312. If we
King,
can open
go
that
ahead.
Line, I'm sure he would want to add to what the brother's saying or answer
I'm
his
sure.
question. Prince, are you with us?
Absolutely. I just want to say I've got the Cohen back on the line connected. The energy went out on our phones, and that's what disconnected us. But we're back connected, and so we're going to participate fully. I want to say to all of the brothers how important these messages tonight to the Israelites throughout the world, that we are not a divided people. We are that nation that is coming together that Zephaniah spoke about, O nation not desired. But the brother said, it's time for less talking. The motto of better world is do the work. And so that's why we were the Yehuda nation. I had the great honor and privilege with Brother Adonai the other night to talk with Ambassador Avraham of the United Nations of Israel. And we're going to continue to develop serious dialogue that would put us back into communication with each other. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to say. I'm saying to all of us listening, this is the beginning of the coming together of the community, ultimately the nation, so that we can begin the rebuilding process. Now, Cohen, are you on the line?
I'm here.
Now, I wanted to pick back up with you, and I want to make an announcement that the Kohen is going to be a regular contributor to the rebuilding and the repairing of the nation that has been divided. He only gave a sample of what the history of this has been. One of the things that we're putting together is the museum of the 46 years of our being in that land, so that our children and our children's children will have a record so that they can refer back to understand what was the motivation why their parents came back to that land after 2,000 years. So
go ahead,
pick that issue up and share with us the vision that you're doing right now in talking to the people. You asked a question 3 weeks ago, why did we come here? And I'm asking you, why did you come to Israel?
Well, as I said, Nasir, I came to learn and to see what this was all about. And in the course of living here and studying and being exposed to the Holy Spirit here, and a part of the Holy Spirit is what I learned in going out and working jobs here in the Holy Land that I had never had any experience with in America, and back-breaking work. You said do the work. I was doing the work, literally. But it humbled me, and in that humbling process, I was blessed to receive the understanding of what our God wants from us. He said, I humbled you these 40 years in the wilderness so that you would know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. So that this is what I came to understand. We had a season here when we almost had nothing to eat. Every day was a struggle, but we were being fed another kind of food. But now we have an abundance of physical food, but it's the spiritual food now that's lacking. This is what we have to get back to now. We have to have, as Menami wrote a book called The Revival of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if he wrote a book talking about the revival of the Holy Spirit, how do you think the revival of the Holy Spirit was going to happen if the Spirit didn't come through the people? It's not something that's mythical, that is floating around. It's these inspirational words that cause people to do inspirational deeds. So the things we did in those initial years here, unprecedented. Now, we weren't supposed to survive that. They literally did not expect us. They knew the kind of conditions that we lived under. But it was the Spirit that gave us life and allowed us to persevere through that. And this is what we have to call on here in this time. And I'm in the process of setting up a nonprofit organization here to establish a Hebraic Israelite museum where we archive and record the history of our return back into this land from our humble beginnings in America, our sojourn in Liberia, and then coming into this land and the heroic and monumental events that have taken place, and the people who have sacrificed on this journey so that their contributions are not forgotten. We got children here who don't know who the original 12 princes were. They don't know what they represented and the sacrifices that they made for them to be in the position that they're in today. So this is one of the main things that I'm in the process of doing at this time, is setting this into motion.
Now let me add to that. The fact that you are setting up there, you take the Yehuda Nation in America, and you take the United Nations of Israel in America. These are independent organizations coming together with their pieces of the puzzle of that 12 tribes that you talked about. Each of us has a brick to put in the rebuilding of the wall. The wall is being rebuilt now. When people talk about I left the community, I did not leave the community. But everybody who heard me in 2007 and 8 heard me say that I would be teaching PhD classes. I would no longer teach fundamental Hebraisms. That would be left to other teachers. I'm instructing everybody to bring in their masters of Hebraisms, their PhDs in Hebraisms, so that we can institutionalize the areas that Yah has given them to work in. And I was so blessed when I met and heard Yanina speak about what the Spirit of Yah had given her to do. And the other night when I heard Brother Avraham, Ambassador Avraham, tell me what the Spirit of Yah has given him, I intend to do what I've been doing for 40-plus years, is continue to meet with the great men and women who are rebuilding a world built by Yah for the people of Yah and ultimately the people of the earth. So this is what we are doing on a better world. This is what we're doing on Yehuda Nation. This is what we're doing on the United Nation and others who I have not yet heard from or have met. But I want to thank that brother who worked with Atul Baruch. Atul Baruch is one of the greatest brothers and entrepreneurs in the kingdom of Yah to this very day. He and his wives and his mother who worked for Congressman John Conyers helped create the political structure that I was able to interact with and build. This is what I'm doing, building of those who have built this nation community. It was not a one or two man or three person operation. It was the whole of the holy people that structured that. Kohen Wise, Shavakia, and Zipporah, who was one of the first sisters to invite me to Detroit. I lived with Shavakia in her home in Detroit, and her mother opened up her cosmetology college. Her name will be put in the memory. Her brother, Amaya Hassanim, was the first perfect understudy with Prince Haziel, and I took him all over the world to introduce him, and he became a prince under my guidance and leadership. We now are repairing all of these hurt, broken spirits so that they don't think that they wasted their time. I don't want them to think that I left Israel. When you have to repair something, you take it into the shop and get it worked on. The Holy Spirit had to pull me out of the mono so he could work on me and tell me what my next job was. And that's what I've been doing, being repaired personally and repairing others personally. Prince L. Ram had been disconnected for 10 years, and he came back at the time I was being disconnected. And he remembered, just like the Kohen said, they were in Liberia doing the coup d'etat together. So that he knows what we did and how God manifested his power in Africa with us. So I'm saying right now, it's in the stage of growth and development. So I'm going to stop for a moment and go back to the questioner on the phone who got questions for the guest tonight and for Better World and the Yehuda Nation. Go right ahead. Prince L. Ram?
Yes, sir. If there's anybody out there in the listeners, and we thank you, Prince, for that clarity. We can always count on you for that aspect. We lean on you heavily for that. Thank you, brother. We appreciate it. Right now, we're checking the lines. Okay, no questions at this time. Brother Donia, do you have any comments at this time?
Well, before he comments, let me make a comment.
Sleeker, I was just, I put it on speaker, and so I have to take it off speaker in order to talk. But I don't really have any questions. I'm just so happy and elated because this is the Almighty making this move, not you and me. You understand? We're just vehicles. You understand? But we do play a part because we got to figure this out and hope that the Almighty bless our hand in our endeavors. You understand what I'm saying? And this couldn't happen at a better time or no other time, because this is the Almighty's time that this is happening in. You understand? He's getting ready to judge these people for keeping us captive. You understand? So it's not us. You understand? We just got to be in place. We got to figure this out, make it work for us. Hallelujah.
Brother Adonai, nobody is keeping us captive now. We are holding ourselves captive. And I say,
well, that's part of it. You understand? See, I understand. Excuse Sleeka for interrupting. You understand? But I wanted to say this here. I understand that. You understand? See, we got to take our destiny in our hands. You understand? And make a move. We can no longer depend on anybody else. You understand? Because once they stop these programs, in America here, once they stop all these food stamps and Social Security and welfare, you understand? If we don't put nothing in place, you understand, we might as well kiss our butt goodbye.
Right, and I wanted to say that because it's important that we understand that there are men and women who are participating in the redemption of the people. We've got to be courageous enough to not let the false evidence appear to be real, fear, be the factor that neutralizes us. We have the 82nd Psalm, know ye not that ye are God's children of the Most High. And so I'm saying to you gods and goddesses out there, help you mighty people and will what you may. Cohen, back to you. What's the plan for your new structure organization in Israel beyond the museum?
Well, in addition to that, we want to get back to emphasizing again the need for the unity of the whole family of Israel and reteaching this doctrine here in the midst of our people here. And as you've already set into motion out there, to bring all of the various factions together under one concept that this is a nation that has many facets to it. This is not a one-dimensional nation. There were 12 sons, so we have at least 12 divergent but equally relevant expressions of godliness. So this is one of the main aspects you want to get back into emphasizing. Because this is how we broaden the base here, so that we understand that Israel is not a Jewish state, so returning back to Israel is not dependent on whether you adhere to, quote-unquote, Jewish law or not. This is about whether you are under the auspices of the God of Israel. So there has to be a new reclarification of the standard for being a member or a citizen of the nation of Israel.
And I'm going to see if I cannot get Ambassador Avraham from the United Nations of Israel to be my guest on an upcoming show so he can talk about sovereignty, citizenship, and the different levels of it right now as we interact. As you know, I've been interacting with the political structure in America and the world since 1972.
Right.
And so we have a high degree of information and strategies that must be discussed as we continue to be elevated by the Holy Spirit of Yahuwah Kadosh. So I'm looking forward to interviewing Sister Yanina so that she can let the people know what we're doing as it relates to our coming together and unifying so that we can continue to build. I'm going to interview Ishaya and UDDL in Israel so that they can put their piece of the puzzle. That's why I wanted the Kohen to be interviewed so he could express what God has laid on his heart. See, it ain't about following Prince Asiel or following anybody. It's about laying your piece down on the ground and letting the pieces fit where they are so that we can continue to go on. All of us who have children born in the land, they don't have no Detroit to go back to. The water in Detroit is cut off. There is no economic power in Detroit. Chicago had 86 murders over the weekend of the 4th of July. But Frederick Douglass said over 100 years ago, what have I got to do with the 4th of July? All we got to do is understand the history of the African, Hebrew, and America, and all you can do is look back and see what Dr. George Washington Carver did with growing the food. The food, he said, spoke to him. God made him talk to him and tell him what to do. When you look at Thurgood Marshall, when you look at the miseducation of the Negro, when you look at Ralph Ellison, Invisible Man, when you look at James Baldwin, Nobody Knows My Name, when you look at Dr. King, Chaos or Community, that was the beginning in Genesis of Tohu Vevohu, chaos and confusion. Right. So all of us putting these pieces together, when Dr. King said that God had allowed him to go to the mountaintop, look over and see the promised land. I may not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. I remember talking to the brother about Brother Avia, Sister Ketsiba, Sister Matana, all of these great brothers and sisters in Israel. Kohen Avizakar called me last week to say, count me in. When Ben Kessie, Kohen Ben Kessie's father, helped us in the 70s in the Church of God in Christ and went to the meetings with me so that the Jews would understand, we will not forget any of these great servants and soldiers to our God and our people. Nazi Shalik, we're going to build that Institute of Hermeneutic Study on his behalf. We're going to build the Institute for the Priesthood of Prince Eleazar, the chief priest. We're going to do these things through the United Nations States of Israel coming back together. And I'm proud to be part of that team. And Kohen, I'm glad that you're a part of that team. Now,
hallelujah, Nazi. I'm glad to be a part of it.
I know you are, and I feel it. Any closing remarks by you, Kohen?
I'm thankful to be able to share this time with you all, and I look forward to our working together in the coming days to bring our God's plan into fruition so that the seeds that have been planted here in the Holy Land will grow into that holy fruit and that will feed the nations on righteousness, truth, justice, peace, and love.
Hallelujah. I would like for you in the coming days to talk to your wives. I would like to interview them so that the women, the sisters in the audience, will get a perspective from pioneers who came into the Holy Land and through their effort built this great community nation that we have now in the Holy Land. Because 2 years ago, I gave a paper that said the confession of Adam and the acquittal of Eve. No longer are we split from the divine woman and the divine man. We beyond that. So if there's a king, there's a queen. If there's a prince, there's a princess. There's an intelligent man, there's an intelligent woman. There's a rich man, there's a rich woman. So I want us to be bound back together so that we have intelligent children on the journey back to Yah.
Hallelujah.
Prince L. Ron, any closing remarks? Any closing remarks?
Just want to say thank you to all of the listeners. Peace and blessings to all of the listeners. And we appreciate your indulgence with our earlier technical difficulties. But as you bear witness, it was well worth all of the efforts to overcome that to get this message out to the people. We want to thank Prince Asiel for his ability to bring significant people before us so that we can hear their opinions, feel their spirits, acknowledge their accomplishments, and draw hope from the things that they've had to confront and overcome and know that we ourselves can do likewise. Again, listening audience, we thank you. We thank everybody, and we encourage you to continue to stay with the Yehuda Project. As you can see, it's growing by leaps and bounds, and this is the coming together that we asked for, so we're getting it. In response to a brother who earlier spoke, said, well, okay, I'm tired of whatever. Well, we spoke, and these things are happening. So it's not that there's not any action, any motion, any reality to the things that we're saying, okay? We just have to say them together, okay? That's the command. We say them together. So, but in order to do that, we have to come together. Like the press said earlier in the program, one step at a time. Like I was saying earlier in the program, we have to be satisfied with success and increments, okay, as we build up and prepare ourselves to inherit the blessing. Selah.
I want to say that Fannie Lou Hamer in 1964 Democratic Convention announced to the world that she was sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And we all sick and tired of talking and not doing anything. But believe me,
right,
even though it may be a fairy tale, the person that stayed consistent, the turtle, won the race against the rabbit. And on the surface, it don't look like a rabbit could ever lose a race to a turtle. But the rabbit stopped and took a nap because he thought he was so far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And when he woke up, the turtle was crossing the finish line. So your consistency, Kohen in Israel, and Brother Adonai, and Sister Yaina, and Brother Abraham, and others, brothers and sisters that's listening to this program, please drop a line to Better World Israel, to Better World America, to all of the organizations that are working for the unification of God's people so that we can continue. We support all of those efforts. And as the brother said the other night, it's the rather than keep saying the people of Dimona, say the Dimona people who came to Israel, because it's not a few people in Dimona that made Dimona be Dimona. It was far beyond one or two or ten people. So understand, we speaking for those who don't have the voice in Dimona, in Arad, in Mitzpah Rimon, in Tiberias, and in other parts of Israel as we lift up the Holy One of Israel. I'm still ambassador for God's people, but there are many ambassadors that I want to continue to be. Kohen is still the priest for Yah's people. It had nothing to do whether or not he was doing it under anybody's instructions. He wasn't brought there by those people. He was brought there to serve the Yah of Israel. He told you. I wasn't no Hebrew. I didn't know nothing about that. But when he saw the Spirit descend upon him, he rose to the occasion. And I want to say you are doing a great job, my Kohen, and I've asked the Kohen to be spiritual advisor to what we are doing as we reestablish the prophetic priesthood, meaning giving instructions on how we are to govern the laws that govern the universe to call that power back into being. Because remember, we're the men and the women that parted the sea. We're the men and the women that put the fire out of the furnace. We're the men and the women that took the appetite from the lions. We're the men and the women that make the axe handle float. We're the men and the women that went into the heavens in a chariot with Elijah. All of these things now are in our hands. And I was so proud the other night when I talked to the brothers and sisters who talked about marching around the United Nations, marching in the nation capital, that had the courage, the tenacity, but most of all the integrity to stand for and with the God of Israel and his people. So as we close out, Brother Adonir, anything you want to say on behalf of the Yehuda Nation before we close out?
I'm just going to say that I love each and every one of you, and there's nothing that you can do about it. Hallelujah.
And I want to answer to every one of us, we don't want to do nothing about it.
That's right.
So if you would be kind enough, Kohen, would you close us out with a prayer from Jerusalem in the Holy Land, and then translate for us in English, please?
Okay, Nasir. Yah Yahuwah, Elohi Avotinu Avraham Yitzchak VeYaakov. אנו מבקשים ממך שתמיד תהיה אצלנו, כדי שאתה יכול ללמד אותנו מה לעשות, שכל מעשינו ימצאו חן בעיניך. אנא, להחיות אותנו ברוחך, כדי שנוכל לבצע את רצונך באופן שימצא חן בעיניך. תיתן לנו את ההזדמנות לרוץ לכל חנפות העולם, להכריז לכל העמים המתים שמלכותך כבר הגיעה ונמצאת בירושלים. אויה יחווה, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to stand in your name. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to go to the four corners of the earth and announce to all of those who are still in the graves that thy kingdom has come and is here with us in the Holy Land, the New Jerusalem. We pray that you continue to bless our hands, our hearts, and our minds so that we might fulfill thy will in a manner that is pleasing unto you. For if we are acceptable in thy sight, we have no complaints. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I hope that we are able, I don't know if Sister Yahina is in a position to play us a song as we go out.
You never know. You never know.
Go right ahead. And I can feel the freedom in the air for our people and for the planet. I want to say to you, Colin, I need your beautiful wives who sing to get some of their music ready so that they can fax it to us or email it to us so that we can play the sounds of Jerusalem from the angelette voices so that the world will know that they are back soothing the sin-sick soul. And I'd like for them to find an original version of Nasi Eliyahu's Prince Asiel, Nasi Asiel, on his way from Jerusalem to the pits of hell, so that people can hear what started the first Aliyah in 1973 out of Detroit, so that they will know that Aliyah lives. So, Kohen, family, Toda Rabbah, it
hallelujah,
was a
hallelujah.
Big interview, and I'm asking you to fit into your busy schedule an opportunity on a regular basis to come and give us a report from Jerusalem and an update on the new Amitai that you're building so that our people will have options to continue to diversify what we talked about earlier in terms of the rebuilding of the kingdom of Yah.
Oh, hallelujah, Nazi. It'll be my pleasure.
And brothers and sisters to the audience, we're going to say Laila Tov and Shalom Uvaraka. Until next week, we'll meet again.
Laila Tov.
Let's do the work. The motto of Better World / Yehuda Nation.
Thank you, Prince.